Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on Monday, which is the 17th of October of 2022. I am your host, the Miracle Man, coming to you tonight live from Lebanon, Michigan, where I live. And it is great to be with you. And I've got to say, I cannot believe how fast the month of October is going by. I cannot believe it. It is flying by. It seemed to me like almost last week we were saying goodbye to September, but what do we know? We're halfway through October already, a little over halfway through October already, and then before you know it, it'll be November. And where did the year go? Where did it go? That's a question of the hour, as people might say, but nonetheless, we've had kind of a lot going on, and I don't say that in a bad way, but so I got a little bit, you know, to kind of tell you what I've been up to as of late, and then I'll just tell you that real quick, then I want to sing like couple of songs, and then it's going to be kind of, you know, condensed a little bit because got a certain, you know, well, a certain event going on a little bit. But nonetheless, let's get to the program, shall we? Now, so Saturday I had this awesome opportunity. A friend of ours invited me to the friend of mine who is the head of a youth football league, like for kids in grades third grade to sixth grade, for tackle football. And I got to be the honorary coach for the fifth and sixth, an honorary coach for fifth and sixth graders. And it was a real cool experience. In fact, Vaughn let me, Coach at Vaughn allow me to call one of the players plays for him. And our team won. I tried to say the score at one point, but then the guy told me, you know, with these kids, we don't mention scores. You know, win or lose, fun time. And the focus for them is having fun, you know. And yes, getting them built up, you know, getting them bigger, stronger, so that they can become bigger and stronger for if they want to, you know, for if and when they end up playing varsity football in high school level. And then after that, if they would like to go on to football, to play football in college. And so I got to do that. It was a cool opportunity. I really enjoyed getting to do that. And, of course, I thank God for the opportunity ultimately. And so that was a great thing that I got to do. I really enjoyed getting to do that. I considered it an honor. All right. Also, another sports news, we will get to that a little bit later on as we had some surprising developments in the world of football. This weekend, some rather surprising things happened. All right. I would like to remind you of a couple things. First off, I would like to remind you up. The book Rivers of Miracles, it's the story of my life, how great God has been, all the things God's brought me through. And you can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book and how it can be a blessing to your life. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. I don't know why I said why. That's my name. That's why. But it's R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. To find out information about the book and how it can be a blessing in the year, because I want you to go and read the book. Okay? And the other thing I would like to remind you of is the PayPal, sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program. And I've been doing this program for 5 years, and I have really been enjoying it. But I would say it's a good idea to sow into the Miracle Man program if it has been a blessing into your life. And I pray that this has been a blessing into your life. I trust you believe that. Otherwise, I'm not sure how you would be tuning in. Unless you're a newbie tuning in to see what on earth is this Miracle Man thing all about. And so you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed. In the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And then the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I would like you to keep in mind is that the first R in Rivers, capitalized. The S in Shukla, capitalized. So I would like you to please make a note of that if you would. And I would honestly very much appreciate that if you would so kindly do that for me. You know, and I always pray over your seed when you sow it, and I always believe God for his blessing upon your life. Because I want to see you blessed. I really do want to see you blessed. It's not something that I take lightly. It is something that, you know, I honestly want to see for you. I want to see you blessed. And so it's just good for you to be. Glad that you're a part of this program. And so now I want to sing a couple of songs and then get into the word of the Lord. So let me see here. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty power. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name. Let the nations sing it louder, because nothing has the power to save but your name. Mm-hmm. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name. Let the nations sing it loud, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What can separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. Veil tore before you, silenced the bolts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised. to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Son, and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you tonight for who you are, for what you are. Thank you for every one of these people that have tuned in tonight, wherever they may be tuning in from, whatever device they may be using. Thank you that they're just, that you would just meet them tonight where they are. Meet their needs tonight. Strengthen their body. Heal their body. Heal their mind. You know, help them in whatever ways they might need your help. As I don't know what they need, but you do. And I thank you that you are meeting every one of these needs represented tonight by these listener says, you are the God who knows everything. And you know what it is, Master, that they have need of. And I just thank you that you will meet every one of these needs tonight. Because you're the strengthener, you're the life giver, you're the soon coming King. And I know that you will meet them where they are, right here, right now, Master. Thank you for this time in your word tonight that we're going to study and learn more about you. Thank you that they will be able to focus on you and be able to turn off all distraction. And I just thank you that you are just right there for them. Thank you that, Master, that I make my confession now over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners will come into this program, that finances will come into this program, that increases in listenership will come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom right now as a result of this great Miracle Man program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. And now I want to have you turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Galatians 3. Praise God, Galatians 3. And I'll just give you a couple seconds to get there. And if you're not there, then go ahead and catch up. And whatever I do here for the next little while, you do too. You do also. I pray, you pray. If I sing, you sing. You know, as I study, you follow along. Amen. I want to begin with verse 1 of Galatians 3. And it says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed and crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or did you receive it by believing what you heard? Are you that foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, capital S, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. Or in other words, we say that the just shall live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come by the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise and the Spirit. Brothers, let me take an example from God, from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to the human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken by Abraham and by his seed. The scripture does not say, and by seeds, meaning many people, but by your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law introduced many years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God, and thus does not do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God by his grace gave us to Abraham through a promise. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed by whom the promise referred had come. The law was put into effect through angels, a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent his one party, but God is one, is the law, therefore opposed by the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that while I was a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners of the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Verse 24. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. And you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's go to the first passage of 4 to go along with this. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. Also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those of the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons or daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. Since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. We see here, folks, is this is some pretty cool stuff here. So, you know, the just, also known as the righteous, different versions will say different things as how that goes, but they live by faith. They live by faith. Now the law that this is referring to would be like the Old Testament law. And, but then when Jesus came to free us from that law, you know, but the Old Testament is there. The Old Testament is there so that, as an account for us to read, for us to look at. And yes, there's all these great victories you see in the Old Testament and all these great stories, but we're under the new covenant, the covenant we have with Jesus. And through him, we have a covenant. And so, but this faith thing, part of what we read tonight says that the just shall live by faith. Faith. And part of what that faith thing is that you don't just go strictly by what you see. You don't just strictly go by what you feel. You can't just simply go by what you see and feel. You know, you should be believing God, because we know faith is believing in our heart. Believing that we will receive, you know, what God has done, trusting in the Lord, believing that, you know, we will receive, you know, what he wants us to receive, that he will do what he said in his word that he would do for us. Because I choose to put my trust in him. Whether you want to, you know, whether you do what you want, but I come to bring you hope. I come to help bring the word of God to you, and I want to impart faith into you. And you know how faith comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I give you the word of God. And we read, you know, Abraham was the faith man, we could say. He was a faith man. He believed God. He was, in his old age, was still able to have a son. And he, because he had believed for a long time. But God still did that for him because he kept believing for that miracle. That thing that he was believing for was a son. You know who was born? Isaac. And also Ishmael. But Isaac was born to David. And he was born to Abraham. And he didn't have no Sunday school class to go to. Abraham didn't, to learn this faith stuff. It wasn't like he had a pastor to go to would spend time preaching how to believe God for things or go through the ABCs of faith, the 1, 2, 3s of faith, building faith. Whereas today, you could even come to my church and my pastor could preach on faith and you could hear it and then apply it to your life. But Abraham did not have access to faith teaching. He did not have access to all the different books of the Bible where you can go to and read stories about where Jesus says your faith has healed you. But Paul is asking those Galatians, are you going to choose to go live by faith? Or are you just going to live by this old law instead and just forego faith and just go by the old law? And he basically said, telling them, you can have these promises of God. He's like, you don't have to live under any kind of curse. You can be blessed. And you can live by faith. And even says, as we say, the just shall live by faith. And I don't just say that to try to sound all cliche by any means. But I mean it when I say the just shall live by faith. I showed you the verse tonight. And another faith verse that always speaks volume to me is we fight the good fight of faith. That means that even though we have battles to fight here on this earth, we can choose to fight them with faith. So it says we fight the good fight of faith. Not with weapons and swords and, airplanes and missiles or, these other things that you would fight with. Go by faith. And so we just got to have faith in order to please him. Without it, we can't. With it, we can. And so it's something that I had heard since I was very little, that we have to have faith in order to please God, that you can't please God without the faith. You have to have the faith. And in the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, you have all these different stories, including Abraham, about, you know, by faith this happened, by faith that happened, by faith. And part of what you do, you know, when speaking, making a faith confession, you call those things that are not as though they are. Like I can say, in the name of Jesus, my eyes see. I see myself seeing. I see these mountains. I see this and that and the leaves coming off the trees. And what have you. Even though I'm a natural, I'm still believing for it. I choose to live by faith and to trust Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to know that and trust that he is going to do for me what I am believing for him to do in my life. And I still trust him, truly. And it can be easy, you know, if you've been believing God for like so many years to see what you're believing for, you know, some people could just be like, you know what, I haven't received it, so is this faith stuff even real? Is it going to work for me? I just haven't received it. You know, for me, it's been a very long time. I've been believing God for a very long time. But you know what? You know what? I still believe. And I know that I'm going to receive the miracle that God has for me in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that these people would learn to have faith in you, that they would learn to trust in you for whatever it is that they're believing you for. May they be able to trust you, to be able to believe you and not doubt, and know that your promises are yes and amen for us. And I just thank you that you will meet. That's where we are. That if these people, any of these people that do not know you, may they give their life to you right now and accept you as your personal, their personal Lord and Savior. In your mighty name we pray, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. In terms of sports, for football, we will start with high school. Midland went to Marquette this weekend, and they romped over the Redmen by the score of 28-6. Multiple players getting touchdowns, including Jason Davenport. And it was a pretty good game by the Cummings. They could have had a bit less penalties, and at times could have been a bit less sloppy. But guess what? A win's a win. Cummings are now 7-1 and are ranked number 6 in MHSAA Division II going into week 9 action. For the Delhi Chargers, however, Friday wasn't so great. The Delhi Chargers lost 40-0 to Mount Pleasant. Dow never got closer than the 30-yard line. And as I said, they fell 40-0. For Dow, they are 3-5. They have given up over 300 points already. With one game left to play on Friday against their arch rival, Midland. Let's go to some college football. Michigan, with a convincing 41-16 victory over number 10 ranked Penn State. And they won with the run. They won with the pass. They won in every aspect of the game. They won. And it was just a great game by the Michigan Wolverines. And they've proved they are a team ready to do great things this season. Michigan State. .38-31 winners over Wisconsin at MSU in two overtimes. Took a couple overtimes, but guess what? They got it done. Snapped that four-game losing streak. Michigan and Michigan State both have byes before the big one on Saturday, October the 29th at Michigan Stadium. Now, we have a key surprise, a big shakeup in college football. That's because Alabama fell to Tennessee, 59-52. Tennessee is now ranked number 5. Alabama has slipped to number 4. And it's great to see Tennessee doing so great and in the mix. They're with Alabama and Tennessee. So right now, in the top 5, top 6 teams in America, you have two conferences controlling the top 5, top 6 teams. You have Tennessee, you have Alabama, and Georgia in the SEC. In the Big Ten, you have Michigan, and that team to the south of us, which will stay unnamed. You have Minnesota, but Minnesota fell on some tough times lately, as they also lost to Illinois. NFL? Well, Bengals, they got a win against the Saints in New Orleans after falling behind, being behind much of the way. They got a win, 39-36. And Tampa Bay falls in Pittsburgh 20-18. They tried to go for a two-point conversion with just under 2 minutes left, it failed. So they fell 20-18 to the Steelers in Pittsburgh. So, I would say the biggest shock this weekend to me was that Alabama falling to Tennessee. Honestly, that was a big shock, but when you have two highly ranked teams going at each other, anything can happen. But Tennessee has shown that now they're ready to be part of the football conversation. I wonder now, are they the next Clemson? Are they going to be the next team? The next juggernaut? Right there with Alabama. Will they overtake Alabama for now going forward? Or not? It is yet to be seen. Michigan. I was listening to that game on the radio. After I had left the event that I was at with the children. And for a minute there, they looked a little shaky. They gave up an interception return and then ended up being down 16-14. But then they responded very nicely and got right to work second half and dominated. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody. Which was actually So maybe now they can. But I was thinking a couple days ago when I was doing the event about the about these football players, these NFL players who had all these concussions, and it was put on documentaries and stuff, and everybody found out about it back in like 2010, and it's good to see people still signing their kids up to play tackle football. But somebody, there are people who are saying that there's a certain thing about football that should change, and they're saying there should be no more tackling in football. Tackling is part of what makes football what it is the tackling. Yet certain people want to take it out. Certain people want to take it out. And but I think it's one of the coolest sports that there is. So I enjoyed it. I will admit it, at first, for a tiny second there, when I first started to hear about the crazy things that was happening with these concussions, I will admit, you will not believe this, Brittany. One time I was at a Midland Dow game back in 2010, we were losing. You know what I called for? I called for something that just then they were starting to really, the NFL was starting to fine players for doing it, the big professional league. I was calling for Midland players, in my mind, I was calling for Midland players to go after the Dow players helmet to helmet. Yes. I was thinking they should go after, because for a second there, for whatever reason, I didn't think it was that serious. I felt like the media was overblowing the whole concussion thing to try to get less people to play football. That's what I felt like they were trying to do. But then a couple of days later, after I told a couple of people about that, a couple of different people, somebody explained to me, I coach with fourth graders. And for a couple few years now, we've been telling kids not to do helmet to helmet, that we can't do the helmet to helmet contact, the head to head stuff. And I do think I was joking about the helmet to helmet, but still, nonetheless, I still thought it would be kind of cool, maybe to just a little bit different to see them doing it. But I can see why in high school, it's not allowed. Maybe it was just how I was feeling, because we were being shut out by Dow 24-0 that year, which would end up being the final score. Honestly, you know why I think I said that, Brittany? I think I said that because I was hungry for action from the Midland players, because they weren't doing anything, because Dow was dominating them all game long. And prior to that, I hadn't seen Midland lose to Dow in person at the game, because I had been to 5 Midland Dow games prior in the regular season, 6 if you include the playoffs. But nonetheless, as I was saying, this whole helmet-to-helmet thing really is dangerous. It really is. Realize that was a bad idea? Yeah, but I think I said that because I was hungry for action. And now, certain helmet-to-helmet hits on college, whether intentional or not, can get targeting calls. Targeting. If you get in trouble for targeting, you get ejected for the rest of the game as a player. If you target another player, like some certain kind of late hit with the helmet, they can be ejected for the next game. Which I've seen it where Michigan players have gotten in trouble for targeting before. And so now we've learned, the concussions are a concern. But I don't think that they are worth keeping your kids out of football over. Lexi, if you had a son, would you let him play football? Yeah. Do you ever hear about some of these parents who say they won't let their kids play football because of the silly concussion stuff? Yeah. And I will admit, there is things about the helmet-to-helmet thing. I wish there was a self way to – I do honestly wish that there was a safe way to bring some of that helmet-to-helmet stuff back, because I miss it in a way. But I get why they can't do it at high school. But I guess I don't want the game – I don't want the game stopped for 30 minutes because someone having a head injury and what have you. And guess what? If someone's on the player for 30 minutes, if someone is laying down on the field for 30 minutes because of an injury, guess what that means, for one thing? The band won't be going, and that stadium will be silent, I'm sure. Because I will admit, I was at a game once, a Midland High game like 10 years ago, and it was silent, just about silent for like 30 minutes because there was a player on the other team down on the field hurt. Some kind of neck thing apparently. And never found out I was doing. I'd be curious, but it was an interesting event, you know, that had happened. I have seen nothing remotely close to that at any game that I've been at since that time. Nothing remotely close. Maybe like someone being on the field for like, you know, 4 minutes. And whenever someone's down, I always ask, you know, do we know what number it is? Because if they're down on the field, chances are it's because they're hurt. I'm a football player who goes down on the field just to, you know, take a nap on the field. I, unless they're the Lions, and I feel like the lie downs take naps on the field more Sundays than not. You know, particularly the games they lose, and obviously they're not laying down, but they're not playing as good as they could be playing. And you know, maybe they're laying down mentally. You know, not quite having their game face on the way they should. But you know, so we talk about sports and all that, but people might say, you know, I think of spiritually, you know, the Bible says we are workers together with, not for him, with him. With him. So it takes a team to put on a church service. And guess what? You know what there's not in team? You know what there's none of in team? There's no I. There's no I. There's no my. I forget what movie that is, but there's this coach that in there, he's motivating his players, and he's all like, there's no me or something like that. And he's like, it's all the team, the team, the team. Is that from a movie somewhere, Brittany, but you forget what one it is? You don't know what movie that's from? Or have you, or do you not even know what movie, or do you not think you even watched that movie? I don't think it's Waterboy. I think it's something else. But I'm not sure what. But I think it's some kind of football movie. As you know, a good coach should be telling his players that, especially as they're getting, you know, these kids need to learn that it's not all about themselves. And part of the problem with these NBA players, you see, is they're so arrogant. They're so arrogant. Kobe was so arrogant, for example, and it was rumored that he was a ball hawk. And, but, you know, and it's supposed to be about teamwork. One of the reasons that so many people love college football, college basketball, you know, is there's heart in it. There's no, at that point in college football, you know, high school football, these players aren't chasing the big fat salary check. They're not thinking salary at that second. How much am I going to make this week? They're thinking about the game and right now. And they're putting their heart into it. And they're putting their heart and soul into it. And now I don't mean soul in the sense like, you know, I give my soul, you know, into Jesus. But I mean, like, they are. But I mean, like, they're given, what I mean by that is, I mean, like, giving their best effort, giving their best shot. And good coaches will tell you that they want the best from their players. They should want their players to show up and give 100%. I was at the game with Vaughn, with these younger children, and he and the coaches were going after him when they weren't. There was one little part of the second half where they weren't that focused. He was telling them, get focused again. And he was asking them, you know, during halftime, you know, now kids, is this other team over there, are they having a fun halftime? And then you know what they all said? No. And so that was good for them. And something I should tell you about these kids, all of these kids but one, assuming they continue on with football, would end up playing for Midland High football in like 5 years, 5 to 6 years. There's two different Adams teams. One of them is the Hawks, and that was the team that I was helping with on Saturday afternoon. And it was, as I said, it was a real cool thing that I got to do that. And they're going to end up going to, I would say there was 20 of them. One of them was Adams and Central Park Elementary Mixed. And that team finished the season with a record of 4 wins and 2 losses. And they really played their hearts out. Now, I do want to see these kids really get stronger, put on as much weight as possible between now and when they get ready for varsity down the road, because I would like to see Midland players getting bigger, because having us get bigger, I feel like can help us when we get, can help Midland as they, you know, when they go further into the playoffs. Because right now for Midland, when they go to the playoffs, size can be a big challenge for them. A big challenge. For a while, most of the biggest losses that Midland would have in a season were in the playoffs. And part of the problem, we were outsized. That didn't mean we didn't fight, but oftentimes the size would present severe challenges for our guys. So, I wonder, how do we start to get bigger guys and more bigger guys? And Marquette generally this past week wasn't doing much with the football. But Midland was. But those times that Midland was struggling, part of the problem was Marquette, their players for Marquette on both sides of the ball were rather large. And sometimes that size causes problems. So I don't know what these places, two of these larger players, do differently. By places, I mean, you know, like different places in the Detroit area. Lapeer, Davison, Lowell, Muskegon. And different places like that in Michigan. I'm curious what they do that we don't, that they have so many bigger players. Because I've noticed that every time that we advance far, we deal with this size issue. And that oftentimes is where we lose. So my question becomes, how do we fix it? And it's just something that I would wonder about, to be honest. And go, how do we change this? How do we fix this? Because one of these days I would love to have Coach Eric Mettner come on the program. And I would ask him about this. And I would mention to him how when we go to the playoffs and make it past round two, we have these size struggles. There were even games last year in the regular season that we had that problem. Against Lapeer, Davison. Because as they say, the struggle is real. But until next time, for real this time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will talk to you next time.